Velociraptors, 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat, tells 8 o'clock.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
So now that we talked a lot about the present, I want to focus a little bit on the future for the San Francisco 49ers. And I would love to start things off again with Roch this time. I want to ask you, what are you hoping for John Lynch to do in the offseason and in the 2021 NFL draft next year to help improve the team and get back deep into the playoffs? Pretty much all I'm asking is, what does John Lynch have to do to make another Super Bowl run?
That's a good question, because he's got his hands full. Him and Parag Marath, he's going to be having to crunch a lot of numbers. This is going to be a crazy offseason, I feel, because they got, like you said, 40 free agents. We touched up on this in the last episode. 40 free agents, roughly. Their cap space is very low. And because of the 2020 COVID season, reportedly the cap space is supposed to come down this year. So it's going to be tough. And, you know, you can't bring back everybody, obviously, even though some fans want everybody back. But you got priorities. So first off, you got to sign those priorities. Trent Williams, quality left tackle, you know, Pro Bowl type player. You lose Staley, you replace him with a great player like Trent Williams. You know, you don't want to lose that type of player on your line, because the line hasn't been the greatest this season. You want to solidify a little bit of something on that line. And your quarterback needs protection, because as we've seen, when the line breaks down, it don't matter who you have back there, it's a bad show. So Trent Williams needs to be priority, probably number one. You got Kyle Juszczyk, who's a free agent. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, he's a fullback, it's not that important. Honestly, Kyle Juszczyk is one of the most important players on this team, because he's like an extra lineman. He helps in the run game. He can be an offensive weapon in the receiving game. He does a lot. He's a leader, you know, good veteran guy to have. Problem is, he's going to command a lot of money. So hopefully you can talk him down to a smaller contract if he wants to come back. But he said he's going to test the market. He's a guy that you hopefully can bring back. You need him for the locker room. You need those veterans like that. And he's going to help with the run game. And this offense is all predicated behind that run game. And then you have, you know, veterans like Richard Sherman. We talked about this before. Is he going to come back? Hopefully you can convince him to stay. But ultimately, if he leaves, you have to solidify the cornerback spot, because that, to me, is probably one of the most pressing issues. Because right now, all of their cornerbacks have started for them this year, Jason Verrett, Kaywan Williams, Emmanuel Mosley, and Richard Sherman, all of them are free agents. And Akella Witherspoon, they're all free agents this season. So you got to at least bring two of them back. And then Jaquaski Tart, he's a free agent. So you may need to either say, do you stick with Tarvarius Moore? Do you chase a safety in free agency if you create enough money? Or do you draft a safety? So that becomes a problem. So you have to really, in these next four games, you have to evaluate Tarvarius Moore. Is he the future or not? They spent a third round draft pick on him. If he's not, you need to fix that ASAP, because you can't have a secondary depleted, right? So cornerback, to me, becomes one of the first two picks you need to focus in the draft. And then, like I talked about, the line after Trent Williams, the interior line, to me, has really been something they have to look into, because center, they've been playing on a third string center, Hieronymus Grasu. You know, Weston Richburg's been injured throughout his career with the Niners. I think they reach an injury settlement with him, let him walk. And you take that money that he was going to be due, $11 million in cap space, and you save it and you bring that to the roster. So you can sign guys like Trent Williams and Kyle Juszczyk. And then another guy that's probably going to be gone, D Ford, you know, he's had limited games with us. They traded a second round pick for him, and they signed him to a lofty 5-year, was an $80 million contract. Love the guy if he's healthy, but that's a big if, capital IF. If he's healthy, D Ford's got to go. He's going to save a lot of money on cap space, you know, reach an injury settlement with them. And back injury, I could see him retiring, honestly. He's had three back injuries in the course of his career.
And he already got his paycheck.
He got the bag already. What's he doesn't need to prove anything anymore. He's got his money. Say, here you go, man. We're going to take the L. Here's a nice severance package. Enjoy the money. We love you, but we need money to sign Williams and Juice and all those guys. Jason Verrett, maybe you bring him back. Great story. You want to keep him because, again, you need to have some cornerbacks. Him and Mosley, maybe you bring him back. And then you got one more guy that has to be a priority, and that's Fred Warner. He's entering the last season of his rookie contract. You don't want to lose a guy like that, because he's become a leader of this team, and he's a locker room, like, just stalwart, right? He's becoming – if you lose Sherman, you need to make sure you have Fred Warner, because he's now your leader on this defense. Him and Jimmy Ward become the leaders of your defense. You need to lock this man up. So,
and we already heard what Aaron Rodgers said to Fred Warner.
He said – you're getting high praise, the best linebacker in the league. And he's only been in the league for 3 years. He's only going to get better for the next 3 years. So,
and you saw what Darius Leonard did? He sent him an autographed jersey.
Yeah, he sent him his jersey, and he said, you're the man, you're the best, you know. So he's getting high praise. He's getting recognition. Even every game we play, even when we lose, the announcers are like, oh, he's the best linebacker in the game. He's the only one showing up for the deep. Like, I remember was it the Patriots game? Tony Romo, you know, probably my favorite color commentator out there. He was like, just look at Fred Warner, man. Just look at how he moves sideline to sideline. He's the best linebacker in the game. And then Chris Collinsworth, who, you know, me and Chris Collinsworth haven't had the best over all the years, but he even was like, look, Fred Warner's the best linebacker in the league. Like, he's getting national recognition. You know, you got to lock this man up, because if you don't, if you put a franchise tag on him, or if you don't pay him this year, he's going to command a lot more money in the future, and you may not be able to afford him. So there is a priority.
He has replaced our Hall of Fame linebackers, mm-hmm. at least in my eyes. He perfectly has replaced Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman's shoes perfectly.
I agree, man. I think he's become a vocal leader, just like Patrick was, hyping them up on the sideline. His gameplay ability, his coverage skills are amazing. Like, he's out there. You can almost guarantee at least a pass deflection or an interception throughout the games. You know, he's tough out there to beat, you know, and his run defense is only going to get better. He's a great linebacker. So you definitely got to, you know, be happy that you have him, but you got to lock him up. And then that brings me to another guy, Jimmy Garoppolo. He's probably going to stay on the team because he's got a lot of – it's complicated, right? And I know a lot of fans don't like Jimmy.
He should reconstruct his contract, first of all.
100% what I was going to say is I think he's going to stay, but I think the stipulation is going to say, hey, look, if we're going to keep Trent Williams for you, if we're going to keep Kyle Juszczyk for you, if we're going to keep all these players for you, you need to take a little bit less money, because let's be honest. These last two seasons, you haven't played. Oh, okay, last season, yes. But the first season, he came in, tore his ACL. It sucks. Bad luck. And then this season, he had the ankle injury. So there's a little bit of injury problem. He's great when he's in. They win when he plays. But again, big IF, capital IF, capital IF, you know. It's healthy. So you need to take a little bit of money down. Let the other players get their money. And you need to draft a quarterback for insurance, because – if he goes down, and he may, because he's kind of been injury prone, you need to make sure that you have a good backup quarterback. So I think that's something they need to look into. They're going to look at all avenues, and there's a lot of people that say, you got to trade Jimmy, you got to trade Jimmy. He's got a no trade clause. So really, Jimmy controls his destiny with the Niners. He could say, I don't want to get traded. I'm going to sit here and get paid $20 million. You don't have to trade me, you know. So I don't see a trade happening in the near future unless something miraculous happens and some perfect opportunity presents itself for Jimmy. Maybe the Patriots come knocking, or Chicago, because he's a Chicago native. Maybe something like that happens. Those are the only two teams I think he would waive his trade clause to.
My thing is, you know, there's been a lot of these comparisons to, or his situation when he was with the Patriots, about Tom Brady, him being the backup to the GOAT. And Tom Brady took pay cuts after pay cuts after pay cuts, mm-hmm. just for him to have a all line, because Tom Brady knew. He said, I'm all about championships. Yes, it was Belichick too, but I need an all line. Without an all line, I'm not a mobile quarterback. And Jimmy G, I remember, he was a semi-mobile quarterback. And I don't know if the Niners told him not to, because there's so much money invested in him. But, you know, if he's not, of course, hey, my man, you got to take a pay cut. I'm a big Jimmy G fan, and I've been really critical of his play. But then again, with injuries, with everything that's been going on, we have a third-string center, like you mentioned. I mean, we gotta give him a chance still. You know, we still do. But you're right. Chicago might call in, and I think Chicago is the only place he will go. And what now? I'm gonna throw you a curveball right now. What do you think about Sam Darnold coming to the 49ers?
I've heard a lot of difficult. I've heard Sam Darnold, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford. You know, I like Darnold. I think he could be a good quarterback. He has talent. He has arm talent. He's got some mobility. You know, I know this league is all about mobility nowadays. It's gone away from pocket passers, you know. Very few of these guys can become a successful pocket passer without an O-line. Like you said, 100%. No matter who your quarterback is, you need an O-line, or it doesn't matter. But
we're even seeing this with the greatest, with Tom Brady. He has struggled this season.
Getting crushed behind that putrid line in Tampa Bay, right? You know, if it wasn't for having every freaking receiver under the sun on his team, they would be horrible, you know. But as far as Darnold, I think he's got some talent. I think he just needs a good coach. Adam Gase is horrible. He's ruined that kid's career, and I feel bad for that guy because he is a good quarterback if he had the right talent. But it's going to be sad because he may not ever develop into the player he could be because of coaching. And it's kind of like it happens to a lot of quarterbacks. Alex Smith was on that same trajectory when he first came into the league because coach after coach after coach, offensive coordinator. You can't figure out a system because you're trying to learn one thing, and then the next year the playbook changes. You're just limited. And then you don't have any O-line. You're not protected. You got no receivers around you. The Jets have no talent around Sam Darnold, so he's going to fail. Maybe he comes to the Niners, new, fresh start. Maybe could help him. That's a possibility. But then it would take a trade. And again, would Jimmy go to the Jets? Come on, man. I would. Jimmy's too pretty to be going to the Jets, you know? So, I don't know.
But you know what? Taking it back, what you just mentioned. Remember, another great for the 49ers, Steve Young. You know, he went to the LA Express, then he went to the Tampa Bay Bucks, and then he came to the – like you said, it's all about coaching. Coaching can do a lot for the player, and I completely agree with you on that.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
My follow-up question, just sticking with the quarterback, in the 2021 NFL draft, if all these quarterbacks who have actually been playing phenomenal, specifically with COVID and everything going on, is there a particular rookie that you are hoping the Niners could draft or even trade up to pick early in the draft?
So if you go on 49ers Twitter, everybody will tell you Zach Wilson is the guy they need to get. You've probably heard of Zach Wilson, BYU quarterback. He looks like he's 12 years old. The kid's he looks very talented. He from what I've seen, he looks like he could be a good quarterback in the league, but it's so hard to gauge a rookie being successful in the NFL because there's so many intangibles. You know, they can look so good in college and then they come into the pros and it's like, why did they take
Johnny Manziel
and Zach Wilson fits the mold of being like the next Johnny Manziel. He looks so good, so pretty. He's mobile. He's putting up big stats and you're like, oh man, it's pretty. Give me this kid. But again, BYU doesn't necessarily play against the best talent in the league. I like Zach. If we got him, I'd be happy. The guy I like, I'm a Gator fan, my man Trask. Whew, this guy is the complete package. But he's not really a mobile quarterback. So again, you need to develop an O-line. I think Trask is probably a money pick in the NFL draft. He's a complete quarterback, drop back. He's got an arm. He's accurate. Guys, if they were to trade back and get a guy like him, oh man, I'd be happy. But there's a lot of good quarterbacks that are in this draft. Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, but there's no way you trade up to get the number one pick. Most likely he's going. There's so many quarterbacks. The guy I don't want, there's a lot of people that like him, Mac Jones from Bama. I just never think that Bama quarterbacks pan out most of the time.
Because they're built to succeed. They're built to succeed.
Yeah, Nick Saban gets the best talent around these guys, 5 blue chip receivers. I can succeed in that offense, bro. You throw me back there, I'll be like, Jerry Jeudy, oh, my God, no. You know, like, he has the best teams around him, so they're built to succeed. Every once in a while, he gets some guys that are like, okay, this guy's just going to be a star no matter where he goes. But for the most part, Alabama quarterbacks, I wouldn't say they have a great track record.
Yeah, for sure. So I love that you brought up the swagger of Zach Wilson, which leads to my next question, and this is for you specifically. What are your thoughts of Kyle Shanahan's swagger?
Then
I got to give you a shout out, man. I see you always rocking his signature hats, man. I love it.
It's funny. This is the first time I'm not even wearing you catch me anytime, I'm wearing Niner gear. I just came back from work, so I just threw some gear on. Not even wearing my Kyle Shanahan. I will always wear that hat. It's funny. But yeah, man, Shanahan, the guy's swag is next level. Like it's absolutely incredible. You go from Jim Harbaugh, wear khakis and a polo, you remember the khakis. And he had Chip Kelly.
Freaking grandpa.
Yeah, grandpa looking. And then Jim Tomsula. Come on, man. The guy had no swag. But then you get
that
Kyle
guy looked
Shanahan.
Like a porn star.
He did. He looked like Ron Jeremy, you know? You've seen the memes. Everybody that knows.
Yes, Jim indeed. That's hilarious.
You've seen the memes. But Kyle Shanahan, man, this guy has drip. He's a young coach, you know, relatively one of the younger coaches. McVay, Kingsbury, and Shanahan. A lot of these young coaches, they got swag, man. He listens to Lil Wayne. You know, he named his young son after Lil Wayne Carter. So you know Kyle Shanahan's dripping. Like, he's wearing Yeezys sometimes. I seen him wearing Jordans, man. His hats, I love his hat. Every time he comes up with a new hat, I'm like, I got a cop. It's an instant cop. Like, there was the first time I got a Shanahan hat, I didn't even realize it was going to blow up. It was the year he had the black hat. The first time he had the Shanahan hat, it was that black hat, right? He came out Monday Night Football against the Browns. And I remember before he wore it, I live out here in San Jose. So I was out in the mall looking for Niner gear. The guy I know like everybody at the mall because they all know I go buy Niner gear and stuff. And the guy's like, yo, I got something for you. I was like, you know, like, he's just trying to sell me stuff because I used to work retail. I know how it is. You're trying to sell stuff. So he goes, no, this is it. Like, trust me. He goes, you're going to want this. I was like, what is it? He shows me this hat. Never seen this hat before. It's a trucker hat. I'm like, it looks pretty cool. He goes, it's the Shanahan hat. He's going to wear it Monday night. I was like, you got inside sources? He goes, no, trust me. They tell me because they got to let us market our products and that's how we sell it. I was like, all right, whatever. I'll buy it because you're cool. So he's like, trust me. There's limited edition. This hat's going to go crazy. You're going to have everybody asking you where you got it. I was like, whatever. He wears the hat Monday night football. Everybody wanted that hat. And then I wear it the next day and it was like, oh my God, you got the Shanahan. Where'd you get it?
Dang.
Like people were going crazy, man. And so that to me, when I remember that day, like that, I tell that story to people. I'm like, dude, Shanahan definitely has swag. And every time he comes out with a new hat, I'm looking for it.
And you know this, man.
Exactly. Man, rest in peace to Debo, though. Debo, yes. Tiny Lister.
Yes, sir. Hey, a 49er faithful. He became a Debo Samuel fan. And one of the best great actors, you know, big man out there in the entertainment business, RIP to Debo.
Also a wrestler.
And also a wrestler.
Yeah, Zeus.
Yes, indeed.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
You now a little curveball of a question here. Now, I know you've seen, and I've seen you post this, where Dez Bryant and Mohamed Sanu, man, are giving Brandon Ayuk his comp of Julio Jones 2.0. Give us some info on that.
Right before I saw that comment, I was scrolling through the NFL pages and this and that because I was hyped up on Brandon Ayuk. Even though the team lost to the Bills, I was like, God, Ayuk showed up. He had a good game, you know, five catches, 95, and he's been playing phenomenal. And honestly, I feel bad for Ayuk because his rookie season has been weird too. Because he missed two games from COVID. His first game of the season, he missed the first game of the season because he had the hamstring strain. So he missed some games. He missed some time in camp. The first game he played, you know, he was kind of just limited a little bit, trying to get back to speed. But after that, his second game, boy took off and he got that touchdown against the Giants. And then he started rolling. And then he missed the two games, like I said, with COVID. So this kid he hasn't even scratched the surface. So I could see him being like a Julio type player. I thought he was like a Davante Adams kind of guy coming out of college. So a lot of people said, but you know what, man, this guy's got some height. He's got some arm span. His wingspan is larger than my life. I mean, he's got some speed to him. He can play like a deep receiver. This, I can see it. I mean, Julio Jones is a great receiver, but that is a big comparison. But honestly, Dez Bryant knows receivers. He's been in the league for a long time. And Mohamed Sanu, he was right there. And he said, he was like, dead ass, man. He sees it because Sanu played with Julio Jones. So if you're getting confirmation from a guy that played with Julio Jones for over five seasons, could be like the next type of guy. This guy, Ayuk hits all the check boxes you want in a receiver. He just needs someone to throw him the damn ball, man.
Yeah, I think John Lynch definitely hit it out of the ballpark. Bravo to him. So now I'm done talking about Niners, and I want to switch it up because this is, after all, Ice Up Fantasy. And I want to ask you, Raj, how are you doing in fantasy football this season?
Man, let me tell you this. This season, I'm usually pretty good at fantasy football. This season, I'm going to be honest, injuries have kicked my ass just like they kicked the Niners' ass, man. It's been, been tough.
Please, no!
Yeah, exactly how I feel. I have a couple teams that I'm not too proud of because Saquon Barkley got hurt. McCaffrey got hurt on a couple of them, you know. So those teams are on their last legs, you know. But there's two teams I have. One's a dynasty league, and then the other one's just like a regular PPR league. And those two teams I'm still, you know, rocking in the playoffs and, you know, I'm doing pretty well. So I got a chance to make the championships in the next couple of weeks in those two leagues. I'm going to hope that I do because that'll be my saving grace for all the other leagues that I burned out on. But I'll tell you, man, picking up a guy like Brandon Ayuk was nice. I picked him up, you know, DeAndre Hopkins carried one of my teams. He's been nice. And Kyler Murray kind of helped me on one of my teams. And a lot of NFC West type of guys I was sticking towards. And let's see, another guy that helped me early on the season kind of flamed out, Clyde Edwards on the Chiefs. He started out strong, and now he's kind of I wish I would have traded him. He's in my dynasty league, so he'll be good for the future. It just sucks because right now is, you know, he's kind of fallen down, but he'll be back up to a high level next season.
Yeah, for sure. And I actually want to ask you, because for this week on our page, if you guys don't know, Ice Up Fantasy, we've been posting the league winners. We have Corey Davis, Justin Jefferson, Wayne Gallman, Cam Akers. So I want to ask you, Raj, on your current team, who do you see as a hidden gem? Who is your league winner for this fantasy football playoffs?
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, Justin Jefferson, man. If I didn't have him on those the teams that I have that are in playoffs right now, I don't know where I'd be. Justin Jefferson, as much as hype as I give for Brandon Ayuk, Justin Jefferson's like on his own island. He's on his own planet. This kid has been outstanding as a rookie. I mean, honestly, I don't think I've seen a rookie put up these type of stats since Randy Moss, you know, back in the day. The guy's been I think he's been the guy that if you would have drafted him, you'd be, you know, singing to the bank right now. He's been money, absolute money.
I just want to know one thing for him. If he was to redraft his dynasty league right now, of course, now that we know what Clyde is all about, would you pick Clyde, Edwards-Helaire, or Jonathan Taylor right now?
Man, if I had to do it all over again, I'd probably take Clyde just because the Chiefs, man, that team is just way too overloaded. Offensively, you know,
even with Le'Veon Bell there now?
Yeah, I know, but Le'Veon Bell's not going to be there forever. I think after next season, Clyde Edwards will go back to being, you know, where he was. So, and I know JT's playing nice and he's doing really good and he doesn't have to share it with anybody, but I still got high hopes for Clyde Edwards because Le'Veon Bell is only going to play for one or two more seasons, but he's playing good now. But I think Clyde Edwards overall will, because you saw what he did when Le'Veon Bell wasn't there. Like, he was just, the guy was absolutely incredible, right? So I think he'll be back to that level, you know, in the future. It's tough. That's a tough call. Honestly, if I had to redo it again, I'd take Justin Jefferson over everybody, man. That guy's a monster, boy.
There you go. There
man,
you go.
That guy's amazing, man. I love Justin Jefferson. I wish the Niners had him, too.
Going back to that, if Brandon Ayuk would have stayed healthy the whole season, I think Justin Jefferson and Brandon Ayuk would be like head-to-head right
You know
there.
What? You're right. Their stats would be very simple. And again, like I said, Ayuk's season has been so weird, man. The two COVID weeks and the hamstring injury, he has been limited. You're right, because I think there was a stat, and I posted the other day, 7 of his last 8 games, he's had at least like a touchdown or 100 yards. That's absolutely crazy.
Yes.
So he's been putting up the stats. He just needs to be in the game.
Okay. I got an interesting question that just came into my head. And I always talk about the Yak Bros on the Ice Up Fantasy Football podcast. And I want to ask you, Raj, out of the 3, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, who is your favorite Yak Bro?
Man, it's I'm going to go back. I love George Kittle. George Kittle is like my favorite player. But if we're talking about Yak Bros, it's Deebo Samuel, man. This guy is a bully. You talk about Nick Bosa being built different. Deebo Samuel has been different. He like hits these guys so he wants them to bleed before they tackle him. So in the fourth quarter, if you're not hurting, they're going to be like, I really don't want to tackle him. Like, Deebo, man, there's something about this guy. I love him. And I'm going to credit myself for coming up with the Yak Bros, because back in the draft, when this draft happened, I remember posting a picture. I put George Kittle. I remember making this post. George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, and Deebo Samuel. I was like, welcome the Yak Bros or something. I remember the post, right? And then I posted up another post like a couple weeks later, Yak Bros. Deebo Samuel, he posted on his IG story, the Yak Bros, and then it took off. And he follows me. So I'm sure he saw. He's like, oh, boy, the Yak Bros.
Shout out Deebo Samuel.
Shout out Deebo. So that's why I love my boy Deebo. Deebo always hyping me. He takes the post and he'll share it in his story. So I got to give Deebo some love, man. But he is a monster, man. And he, like, just the reason why you got to give him the credit is he's played, what, 6 games this season. And before that Thursday night game, he was number 1 in Yak. 6 games, and he's leading the league in Yak, man. That guy's unbelievable.
I think also we need to give a shout-out to South Carolina College, because they bring some bullies into the NFL.
They get
Javon
some bullies, dude. I don't know what they do. They must starve these guys because they are hungry when they come on that field, man. It's crazy.
This is Ice Up Fantasy.
All right, now give us your prediction for the 49ers game tomorrow. Who do you have, and what's going to be the score?
It's going to be a tough game, man. Honestly, Washington, the football team, it's so weird to call them the football team. The football team's defense has started to come around. You got Chase Young, he's a good young defensive end, man. He's a star. You got Montez Sweat, who his second year. He's a beast, too. I remember scouting him and going, this guy's going to be great. And then they got Ryan Kerrigan. That pass rush is scary. And Nick Mullins is in for a long day.
Don't leave out Payne and Jonathan Allen. Those guys are all
exactly.
first-round picks.
The whole their D-line, they basically have what the Niners had last season, if you really think about it. Their defense is basically like a carbon copy of what the Niners were before we were hurt. So it's not going to be easy. Our O-line has to bring their A-game because Nick Mullins, he doesn't do anything that excites anybody. He's not elite. He has to limit mistakes and be a good game manager. We have great players, Debo, Ayuk, Mostert, Kittle's hurt. We have Mostert, you know, Debo, Ayuk, and Jeff Wilson. Those guys are solid. You got to get them involved early. You got to establish the run. You need to get Debo the ball before the third quarter, man. Last week, that really killed me that his first catch wasn't until the third quarter. You got to get him involved early and often. And Brandon Ayuk needs the ball in his hands. So you need a jet sweep right, jet sweep left. Whatever you got to do, get them the ball. And I think Alex Smith, he's been playing, you know, inspirational football, and the team is feeding off that. And I think they're playing great because of that story. But I think he, you know, Alex Smith isn't going to do anything that's going to go crazy. You know what you're getting with Alex Smith, right?
And I believe Antonio Gibson is injured for this one. I don't
think
he's going to play.
He's got turf toe. He's out. So that's going to put a lot of strain. If we can get some type of pressure, Kerry Hyder can get some type of pressure on him. They got a chance. I think the Niners can win.
That guy has great game.
Dude, such a gem, man. Like, if you would have told me at the beginning of the season, Kerry Hyder Jr. lead this team in sacks, I would have laughed at you in the face. But dude works hard. He's a blue-collar worker. I see the Niners winning this game. 24-20. It's going to be a gritty, tough, you know, nasty game. But the Niners are playing. This is basically, they got nothing to lose, everything to win. This is a game where they got to leave it all on the field. This is basically win or lose. If they don't win this game, you can kiss the playoffs goodbye. So this is their Super Bowl right now. Every week now, going into the last week of the season, they have to play like it's their last game. And I think that's the mentality they're going to have. And I think this team is hungry. They're still the defending NFC champions. You got to respect that. And they're coming into our house, I guess you would say, Arizona 49ers. And they're going to be a tough team to beat. So I think the Niners can gut this team out. Kyle Shanahan be on his A game. He wants to look for revenge after losing last week in the bright lights of Monday night. Robert Saleh, you know, playing for his head coaching job. He wants to showcase himself. I think the Niners win 24-20, get a bounce back win. And it's going to be because of Debo and Ayuk. And, you know, maybe Fred Warner gets a big time play here or there. Bang, bang, not again.
Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Thank
man.
You again, know, Raj. This is Raj from RSF 49ers on IG. Please make sure to follow him and look at his IG live videos. This guy shares tons of great information as he just did in our show for ISO Fantasy. This is the real Jorge. Thank you again, Rick Rock. Raj, we're out.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.